Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 35 degrees with snow flurries. Today is Friday, March 9th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly likely will hold off on passing any tax increases until it's seen a draft of the 2013 budget. In discussion at the Assembly table on Tuesday night, members informally agreed to give Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley time to hammer out a budget before floating any ideas for possible cuts. Dinley argued that a discussion of cuts, particularly to personnel, was premature at present. Assembly members Mike Reif and Phyllis Hackett countered that until the public could be assured that some cuts were coming, it might be premature to pass a sales tax increase. Hackett and Dinley had this exchange.
You're asking us to pass these increases so that you have increased revenue to work with. And the public is not comfortable with that. And we work for the public. So, okay. You know.
Yeah,
so
it's a chicken and the egg. I understand what you're saying. And I understand the public needs to know.
So how can you help us out with that?
Ask for patience.
Hackett said she was a pretty firm believer in that for every dollar of tax increase, there should be an equal or greater cut. The Assembly in February passed on first reading an ordinance limiting the senior citizens exemption to those below a certain income. Further consideration of an ordinance raising the cap on taxable sales to $1,500 has been postponed until April. Both proposals likely will win passage, but Mike Reif said that they will not have his vote until he's satisfied that the administration has done what it can on the other side of the balance sheet.
What is happening is we're driving through the revenue increases, which feels very uncomfortable to me, and that's why I'm not going to vote for final adoption. So let's just slow down on that, get it right to final reading, table them or postpone them until we have a budget. I think that will allow our administrator to do his thorough job and allow us to make a real rational decision. Right now, I don't feel like it's rational.
Between the sunset of the Secure Rural Schools Act and decreases to state revenue sharing, Sitka is facing a $1.1 million shortfall next year. Those losses will be offset by the two proposed changes to the sales tax code if they're in place by July 1st. The first budget work session with the Assembly is scheduled for April 26th. The final municipal budget goes to the Assembly for approval on May 17th. A Yakutat area lodge owner has lost a battle over salmon allocations after it appeared that he had won. It's just one of the conflicts between user groups that came before Alaska's Board of Fisheries last week. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Sayu River is a short, shallow waterway about 125 miles up the Gulf of Alaska coast from Yakutat. It has a strong coho run, so commercial fishermen have been setting their nets there for decades. The silvers also attract sport fishermen who stay at nearby backwoods lodges. That's led to some problems on the five-mile-long waterway.
And what I hope to do is to put a little separation between the user groups so there wouldn't be the conflict all the time.
Dan Earnhardt works for the Sayu River Coalition, which represents some lodges and their clients. He brought a proposal before the Board of Fisheries aimed at dividing up the river. The lower half would go to anglers, the upper half to set netters.
I wanted to do something that was fair, something that was right for both user groups, that would not interfere with the traditional uses of the commercial people, but yet giving a little more opportunity to the sport fishermen.
It really is unwarranted to most everybody who's involved.
That's Casey Mapes, who chairs the Yakutat Committee advising the Board of Fisheries on local matters. His group opposed the plan, or any version of it, saying it just wasn't needed. He got agreement from Yakutat's mayor, municipal government, tribal government, and fish processor, even one of the other Sayu River lodges.
You know, it's plenty of fish, the river's healthy, there's room, everybody usually gets along. It's just that you get a few people who have problems, and it winds up that everybody has to suffer for it.
The allocation plan went through a board committee. It switched the boundary, putting set netters in the lower half of the river. That proposal then went before the full board, where it was debated and finally passed on a close 4-3 vote. But as word spread to Yakutat, new information came in. It showed a higher number of people involved in the commercial fishery and a greater value of their catch. That led board member Mike Smith of Fairbanks to bring the proposal back for reconsideration. He had voted for it, but wanted the opportunity to change his mind.
These are long-time, historical, multi-generational fishing sites, Mr. Chairman. They're sites that are fished by hand. That is, they don't use boats. These people are conducting a commercial fishery by hand, Mr. Chairman. They're working that thing physically and have been doing so for generations.
He said the new boundaries would likely hurt set netters and others involved in the fishery. Board member Tom Kluberton of Talkeetna had a different view. He said the Yakutat Borough gets far more income from the lodges than from commercial fishing.
I think we're seeing a culture clash here. We're seeing traditional commercial methods clashing with a new economy that's been emerging in that vicinity.
Other board members questioned some of the new information, saying it was an exaggeration or a rehash of what was considered before. Board Chairman Carl Johnstone of Anchorage argued changing votes would set a bad precedent.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It looks like the board is going to, by a majority vote, say we have new information, revisit something that we fleshed out pretty thoroughly, and I don't think it looks good for the process.
The final count was 4-3 against the proposal. Smith was the one member to change his vote, leaving Sayu allocations as is. Two other river proposals were also before the board. One would have banned using powerboats to drive fish into nets. Another would have changed how the state sets commercial openings in the area. The Sayu River Coalition's Earnhardt, who authored the measures, withdrew his support. The board considered them anyway, but voted them down. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting.
You can see photos of Sayu River fishing and read about other fisheries board decisions posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. A Ketchikan man on Sunday rescued a bear cub whose head was stuck in a plastic jar. After multiple attempts, Michael Schuler was able to release the bear cub before mom caught on to the problem, Deanna Garrison reports.
Schuler had just wrapped up some avalanche tests on Ketchikan's Deer Mountain when he decided to climb up to the summit. Hiking with his friend's dog, Josie, Schuler stumbled across the black bear cub.
What my brain saw was a water bottle with a head of hair, like, leaning on it, you know? So I totally just stopped and had to take a look and couldn't quite place because it was so snow-covered. It was moving, kind of lolling around.
He says the dog started to growl as the two walked around the animal, trying to figure out what it is they were looking at.
It was so snow-covered, and it just didn't, at first it didn't occur to me that it would be a cub, you know, out, especially right on the summit. I've been up a lot on Deer Mountain this winter doing snowpack study stuff, and I've only seen a couple of marten tracks up that high. That's the only thing. Some wolf down low, some goat, you know, stuff like that. So it was really kind of a shock.
Schuler says he racked his brain and decided the only other animal that could be that size would be a wolverine.
I was like, well, we don't have wolverines here. But I was still running it through my head, and I thought, well, if it's a bear cub, I can handle that, you know. But if it's a wolverine, as soon as it's out, it's gonna tear me apart, you know. So it took a few minutes, and I poked it with a hiking pole a little bit, and got it to try to, it kind of rolled over, and moved its feet out from underneath it, and then I saw that it was a bear.
Before trying to free the animal, Schuler says he attempted to get in touch with a wildlife biologist to see if there were any protocols for dealing with a trapped bear. After multiple phone calls, including one call with a trooper, Schuler says he tied the dog up and went to work trying to free the bear.
You know, I just thought that as soon as I had the jar in my hands, he'd just pull his head out and back away, and that'd be it. And he tugged back, and nothing happened. So I picked the cub up completely off the ground and did a kind of a little drop shake, and that still didn't do anything.
By that time, Schuler says the cub was becoming agitated, making noise and trying to get away.
So I couldn't let go of the jar now at this point. So I had my ice axe, and I was able to stick the point of my ice axe through the plastic at the very bottom.
He says he used his ice axe to anchor the jar into the snow. He then sat on the bear and cut the jar open with a work knife.
And it spun around, and I think as soon as it saw, you know, spun around away from me, it just took off at a dead run down the hill.
Schuler says he's frustrated that someone left trash on the mountain that could have very well killed the bear cub. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
You can see a video of the bear cub rescue at our website, kcaw.org. In Tenakee Springs, residents are preparing for tonight's Fireman's Ball. The annual event isn't just a fundraiser for the city's volunteer fire department. It's the fundraiser. The Tenakee Springs Fire Department has no operating budget. Gordon Chu is the assistant fire chief.
The city keeps the lights and the heat on and provides us a building, and then we pay for the rest. So all of our equipment, our personal protective gear, turnouts, helmets, you know, gloves, boots, Nomex hoods, all that is funded through this, pretty much this one event.
Chu says the event usually raises between $3,000 and $4,000 and draws a crowd between 70 and 100 people. Chu said the event includes a raffle for airline tickets, prizes, and entertainment from two bands.
The first band has members that have been here for all 26 years, and their name is Ace Boat Building and Exploration, and they're pretty much a jug band. And then we follow later with a rock and roll and blues band. We call ourselves the Tenakee Rock and Blues Band, so something for everybody, we hope.
What do you play?
I'm a guitar player.
How long have you been playing?
Well, since high school, and I won't tell you how long that was. But I also sing, and that's been my joy, is learning how to sing and getting together with the... We're basically... This is what's sort of interesting, is we are a firefighter band. Everybody in the band is in the fire department. So it's kind of unusual, I would think, that you fund the fire department with a band full of firefighters. So we're pretty proud of that.
That was Gordon Chu, the assistant fire chief in Tenakee Springs, talking about the 26th annual Tenakee Springs Fireman's Ball. Starts tonight at 5 p.m. Zone weather forecast today for Sitkin, PA, calls for rain showers, likely highs around 40. Temperatures slowly falling in the afternoon. This is KCAW in Sitkin.